Good afternoon. This is Lori Leiker with Small Business Coaching. Good afternoon. This is Lori Leiker with Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm a business coach. I focus on employee relations and business processes. And I just kind of help you grow your business because those two things will stop you dead in your tracks. Today, we've got a really exciting guest. Sean Kokoska is the president of MAPS Business Coaching. He's been doing this for over 17 years. He works in conjunction with the MAPS Business Coaching with Keller Williams, the largest real estate company in the world. So you can imagine how many people he's trained. And he's right now doing their bold training and their one thing training. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Well, thank you, Laurie, for having me. It's an honor.
What does BOLD stand for?
Well, BOLD is an acronym, which means Business Objective Life by Design. It's not about a life by default, yet so many people approach their life and their business that way. They don't necessarily recognize that they hold the steering wheel of their own life. They can turn that wheel any direction they would like. They think that their life is a series of events that happens merely by happenstance, and oftentimes they believe that it's not of their own doing. So BOLD is about taking personal responsibility and designing your life.
How do you get around the mindset that so many people have that their lives are out of their control?
You know, the first step in any change, I believe, is awareness. So in the BOLD program, we have an opportunity to share with them some simple truths that are not, they're not groundbreaking. They're not thought leader type thoughts, yet they're gentle reminders of how they have envisioned their life to be early on in their career. See, through a series of events or programming, it impacts our thoughts, and then our thoughts, of course, they lead to our feelings, and our feelings lead to the action or inaction, which ultimately produces a result. And we just bring to their conscious awareness, what is the programming that they're buying into that's impacting their thoughts, leading to their feelings, and then, of course, their actions and result. And that result, whether it's positive or negative, of course, comes back to their programming. And so by bringing that to their conscious awareness, we can then uncover some limiting beliefs. And it's important to recognize that the mind is going to work itself over time to prove itself right, even if the belief is limiting. You know, I refer to them as yeah, buts. Yeah, but I don't have the time. Yeah, but I don't have the money. Yeah, but I'm too old. Or yeah, but I'm too young. Or yeah, but I'm too tall. Or yeah, but I'm too short. And the list, it goes on and on and on. And really, we become what we think about most of the time. You know, Earl Nightingale said it first. You know, my mother shared that with me when I was just a teenager, and then she said, Sean, don't worry, you won't become a girl. Yet, if we're thinking about these limiting beliefs over and over and over, ultimately, that's what designs our life, not these proactive thoughts of greatness. And so in BOLD, we get people to really think big. And when they think big, then they recognize they must take bigger actions than they're currently demonstrating. They must form bigger relationships than they have right now. And most importantly, they must form bigger habits. And I say that's most importantly because F.M. Alexander said people do not decide their future, they decide their habits. And their habits decide their future. Yet, Larry, I'll know you agree with me here, is that most people, they don't form habits consciously. They form habits unconsciously. Yet it doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, let's connect some dots. If I'm consciously setting goals, if I'm consciously building a business plan, yet I'm not forming the right habits consciously, I'm allowing the unconscious mind to take over, then the chances of me accomplishing the goals are slim to none. So BOLD is about bringing awareness to an intentional set of actions and behaviors that will produce the results that they desire. Now, we've done some research on habit formation, by the way. Lori, let me just share with you. See, I'd always heard that it took...
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Good. I've always heard that it took 21 days to form a habit. So in 3 weeks, I figure I could identify a positive habit that I choose to implement into my life or my business, and, you know, I just apply discipline for 3 weeks, and sure enough, I'm going to own the habit, yes? Well, I applied that methodology, and it wasn't working, and I wondered why. Well, Megan Oten did all types of research around habit formation. She's out of the University College of London, based in Australia, and what she learned after a series of exercises that it takes 66 days on average to form a habit. So I was giving it less than a third of the time actually required to bring that activity to the point of automaticity. What she was looking for, by the way, was the magic moment where the discipline required to sustain the habit was about as low as it would get. Now, if you just envision a graph with me, just a simple L graph, right, on the vertical line on the left, that vertical line represents the amount of discipline the individual must apply toward habit formation or to doing that particular activity. And when it starts out, now it's going to be as high as it can get. It's going to be like 95% discipline and 5% habit. And then, of course, the horizontal line at the bottom, that represents time. And over time, what happens is the amount of discipline required significantly drops off in the magic moment of habit formation, averaged 66 days. Now, on the low end, it was 18 days. And on the outside, it was 254 days to own the habit. So it depends on the task that you choose to bring to the point of automaticity. It depends on the complexity of the task and past experience. Yet the average is, in fact, 66 days.
So do you find that people, when they're trying to form habits, they get this 21 times thing in their head, and after 21 times, if it's not a habit yet, they stop?
They do, in fact. And, you know, we have a methodology surrounding that type of thinking. We call it moving from E to P. Now, the E stands for the entrepreneurial approach, where the P stands for the purposeful approach. And, you know, the word entrepreneur has been sensationalized. I mean, people say, I'm a serial entrepreneur. So forget your neuroassociations of that word entrepreneur just for a moment. And let's kind of create a new definition. The entrepreneurial approach is simply doing what comes naturally. Now, if I'm doing what comes naturally to me, then of course I'm going to hit a natural ceiling of achievement. And when I hit that ceiling of achievement, because of our instant gratification society, I'm going to go through a couple of different phases. The first is disappointment. The second is resignation. And then the third is on to greener pastures, and the cycle continues. Now, the purposeful approach is doing what comes unnaturally, where you implement focus, models, and systems to reach the point of breakthrough, where we break through the natural ceiling of achievement with purposeful action. And oftentimes, when consulting and coaching with businesses, I'll ask the question, what are you doing entrepreneurially that you should be doing purposefully?
Okay. So what are you doing by rote or habit or what comes naturally that you should be doing fully conscious of what you're doing?
Absolutely, and do it more purposefully. Like I think about lead generation. And for any small business owner, that is probably the number one thing that they must do on a consistent, repetitive basis. Otherwise, before you know it, they're going to be out of business. So lead generation. Bringing that to the point of automaticity. In fact, if you don't mind, I'd like to offer the 66-day habit tracker form to all of the listeners. They can simply go to our website, theonething.com, click on the resources page, and just scroll down to the 66-day habit tracker. Now, this methodology, by the way, and I want to get you a vision of what this paper looks like. It's a free PDF download. And it's got 66 boxes on it. So on the top, you outline the habit you choose to own is, whatever that is for you, and then 66 boxes. Now, every day you do that, you simply put an X on the form and that particular day. And if you break the chain, then you have to start all over again. So it's a little game you can play with yourself. You can put it up in your office, let everybody know what you're attempting to do to increase accountability. And by the way, that methodology came from, believe it or not, Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian. Before he was the comedian that Jerry Seinfeld is today, his one thing, if you will, was merely to write one funny joke every day and memorize it. And every day he did that, he had a simple wall calendar up on his refrigerator. Every day he did that, he just put an X over that day. And he said, my only job was to maintain the chain.
It's such an excellent point, because so many times you get tired. It's like with New Year's resolutions. After 3 or 4 weeks, if you make it that long, because it's not a habit, because you're not owning that chain, you give up.
Well, it's true. And when you implement this simple methodology, your motivation and your energy actually increases instead of decreases. So you may think about it, Lori, mm-hmm. and I know you agree, that once you've strung together like 10 or 12 X's in a row, what happens to your momentum and your energy?
Well, then you want to just keep going.
You do, right? So it's just a simple tweak in the way that people focus on habit formation that actually increases energy and increases discipline toward owning that habit rather than, you know, just naturally letting it decrease.
Mm-hmm. And falling back into your comfort zone. And you talk quite a bit about needing to be uncomfortable, that one of the best things you could ever do to grow your business, start whatever it is in your life that you want to accomplish, you need to be uncomfortable. Explain that.
Well, undoubtedly, bold is about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. See, mm-hmm. everything that we desire in life, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our ambitions, all of our goals, they're all uphill. And the challenge is that a lot of people, they have downhill habits, right? And they can never go mm-hmm. uphill with downhill habits. Yet when we're focused on habit formation and implementing positive habits into our life, there's a couple of things that happen. Number one, Megan Oten references in her studies the evidence of a halo effect around habit formation, meaning individuals who brought to the point of authenticity one positive habit, they experienced less hours watching television, less alcohol consumption, less drug use, even fewer dirty dishes piling up in the sink. See, by owning one positive habit, it makes everything else easier, no doubt about it. The second thing is, when we're focused on building positive habits, then we start gaining momentum. We're tracking mm-hmm. our progress toward owning that habit. Now, momentum is a fun thing, by the way. It is what I call the greatest magnifier, meaning if you don't have momentum, it will make you look 10 times worse than you actually are. And when you do have momentum, it makes you look 10 times better than you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people, they don't necessarily have a business model problem. They don't necessarily have a lead generation problem. What they have is a momentum problem. And momentum's a really great thing, like a locomotive with a couple of cars behind it traveling at 55 miles an hour. It will crush through a 5-foot wall of concrete that's reinforced by steel, and it'll keep going. Yet you take that same locomotive in a stationary position, you could take a 1-inch block and put it under the front wheel, and it can't get going at all.
Right. That makes sense. You had mentioned something about the one thing and going to the one thing website. I've had the privilege of attending the one thing seminar, the beginning seminar. Can you explain a little bit about the background of the one thing and what that means?
Yeah, in fact, the one thing was written and released by my business partners, Gary Keller, the founder of Keller Williams Realty, the world's largest real estate organization, and Jay Papazan. And really, the one thing is a methodology that is designed specifically to increase the value of your time currency. And what I mean by that is, and I'll share an example. An individual might say, I'm going to take, 20% of my gross annual income, I'm going to set it aside in a savings bond or a CD or something like that, and in 10 years, I'll finally be able to pay cash for that vacation home or that second home that I've always wanted to buy. And the challenge is that they're looking at that vacation home and they're looking at the purchase price, right? And let's call it mm-hmm. $500,000. It's $500,000 to buy it. See, rather than looking at the vacation home as being $500,000, what if they looked at the vacation home as costing them 10 years?
Okay.
And what if there was a methodology out there that would allow them to not buy that vacation home for, say, 10 years? They could actually buy it in 3, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the one thing really is all about. It's about prioritizing your activities. See, a lot of people, they simply work off of to-do lists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning
mm-hmm.
that they'll sit down in a quiet environment and they just write down everything that they could do that day. And here's the challenge with working to-do lists, is because every time we get to cross something off that list, there is a release of an endorphin, a chemical inside of our brain makes us feel good, makes us feel like we're accomplishing something, right?
Right.
So the challenge with that type of a list is that we inevitably tackle the easiest thing first, because we want that payoff, we want that hormone release, right, of making us mm-hmm. feel like we're doing something. Heck, I've even been guilty of doing something, then adding it to my to-do list and then crossing it off. Just because I want that
payoff. That.
Right, right. So the one thing, and while there's many lessons, and we certainly don't have time to discuss all of them on the call, one thing that I'd really like to have stick with your listeners is, rather than a to-do list, what we all need is a success list, a list that is purposefully created around extraordinary results. See, of all the things you could do on your to-do list, and let's say there's 25 things on there, what we encourage you to do is apply Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule, meaning 20% of the items on your to-do list will yield at least 80% of your results. And if you had 25 things and you applied the 80-20 rule, that'll get you down to 5 things. Now, I don't think that's enough. In fact, I say go extreme Pareto and apply the 80-20 rule yet again, and 20% of 5, of course, is 1, the mm-hmm. most important thing. See, a lot of people run around saying, I've got all these priorities, I've got all these priorities. And when you think about it, the definition of the word priority means the most important thing.
Right, and so if everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority.
Right, and so by definition, is the word priorities, is that even a real word? How can you have more than one most important thing?
Right.
So by applying extreme Pareto, we narrow our focus to the most important task of the moment. And let me dispel a common misunderstanding of the book, is that it's just one thing, and nothing could be further from the truth. The one thing means it's one thing at a time. Success is sequential. It's not simultaneous.
Now, one thing that I noticed in the presentation, in the one thing class, there was a lot of talk about the fact that multitasking is impossible. And I've read some studies that go into the fact that you're really never multitasking. Really what you're doing is switch tasking and trying to switch rapidly between tasks. Unfortunately, you're not doing any of them well. How does the one thing help you focus?
Really, there's a list of proprietary tools that I walk people through to gain a clear understanding of what the priority is in the moment. Yet there are several proven strategies of time blocking your time, there's four that I'm going to mention right now. The first is, once you've identified the priority of the moment, we've got to schedule it, obviously, because if it's not in your schedule, it doesn't exist. And we recognize mm-hmm. all work expands to fill the time allowed, right? If I give myself an hour to go through my emails, I'm going to take an hour. If I give myself 35 minutes, I'll probably get it done in 35 minutes, right? It's just how much time is required for that. So we got to block the time. Yet the four strategies are, first, build a bunker. Meaning,
okay.
Where could you go that you will not be distracted, you will not be interrupted? Like I consider my office my bunker. I've got a little door hanger on my door that says, just in case I can't say no, this sign will have to do it for me. So when I'm in my time block focused, so when I'm in my time block and I'm focused on the priority work at hand, my 20% activities in essence, then that door is shut and the sign's out there. Second thing is to sweep for mines, meaning, and of course we're using military terms, yet think about the mines that exist inside your current bunker or your office right now. I mean, it's things like your Microsoft Outlook being open, and you get that fun little window that pops up saying, oh, you've got an email. And so, oh, that looks important. You click on it, and then what are you doing 20 minutes later? You're still doing email. Or all these notifications on your mobile device as well as your computer, like Facebook posts. Oh, you're tagged in this message. Ooh, I better look at that. And then 15 minutes later, I'm still on Facebook. Even on my cell phone, on my home screen, I moved the mail icon and my text message icon clear to the last home screen page on my cell phone, because how many times have you picked up your cell phone saying, oh, I need to get this person's phone number out of my cell phone? You open it up and then you see, oh, I've got 57 emails, and you click on that and you start going through emails on your phone, and you close your phone down and forgot you were even going to call that person in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So turn off the notifications. Just get to a position where, you know, you've swept for minds and nothing can interrupt you. We call it the 3-foot rule, meaning from the tip of my fingers to the center of my chest plate is exactly 3 feet. And who or what can get within 3 feet of me will either push me toward accomplishing the priority task at hand, or it will absolutely distract me. So we got to sweep for minds. Third is we've got to store provisions. So what do you get up from your desk for? Is it coffee? If so, bring in a thermos or a Keurig so you don't have to leave the bunker. Because if you're like me, the second you step out of the office, somebody sees you and says, oh, Sean, I'm so glad I saw you. I just had a quick question for you. And this 2-minute trip to the coffee machine to get a cup of coffee turns into a 25-minute distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the fourth is
if you're working at home. If you're working at home, you know, you may have other people that are there. You get up to go get a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, you're still trying to help your child with their homework.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The environment must support the goal, no question. See, because once you step out of your bunker, you could get sniped, right?
Yep.
So the fourth
now,
is...
what's the fourth thing?
Enlist support. No one succeeds alone.
Okay.
Like if you came up to knock on my office door right now, my assistant would probably tackle you, right? I mean, she guards my bunker for me. So support is critical.
Okay. And what else do you need in order to accomplish that?
Well, I think you've got to develop the ability to narrow your focus to the priority work at hand. So there's the focusing question that helps us get there. And for those of you listening, I'm going to encourage you to write this down and ask yourself this question 10 times a day, 50 times a day, 200 times a day. And here it is. What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? So it's not the 5 things, it's not the 10 things, it's what's the one thing I can do, meaning I have the skill set, the mindset, the financial ability to do that, such that by doing it as a transitional action statement, it engages the brain, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. So if you got your to-do list, just apply that question to your to-do list, and ultimately you're going to come up with your answer. Then estimate how much time is that going to take. Block the time in your calendar. Put a note on your door saying do not disturb or whatever you have to do to be able to focus and get that done, because if we don't, we fall victim to what we call interrupted workflow. Now, focused workflow is one thing, meaning that you got your head down, you're not being interrupted, and you're able to hammer out the work. Interrupted workflow is something completely and totally different, meaning if I've identified the one thing I'm going to do in this block of time, and let's just say I'm going to send out an email to all of my customers that's going to increase referrals and help make sales happen, and I've identified my framework for this, it's going to be 3 paragraphs in length, and therefore it's taking a considerable amount of my thoughts, my energy to make this happen. Now, I'm halfway done typing it out, so I'm a paragraph and a half through it, and somebody opens my door and says, hey, you got a second? And if I say yes to the distraction, what I must do is I must switch tasks from the priority work.
Mm-hmm.
I need to then reorient to the distraction, deal with the distraction, then switch task from the distraction, reorient back to my primary work. Now, Laurie, if you're like me, what do you have to do with that email?
Well, you have to go and reread it so that you know what you've already said.
Right, just so that I can reorient back into that train of thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And researchers estimate, by the way, it's due to these, and by the way, they estimate an average of 43 interruptions in an 8-hour workday.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
An interruption every 11 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They also estimate that we have 4,000 conscious thoughts every day. That's an interruption of thought every 14 seconds.
And that doesn't include the unconscious thoughts.
Right, including the unconscious thoughts, they estimate it's over 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, because of those 43 interruptions and the 4,000 conscious thoughts every day, researchers estimate that it costs us 28% of our productivity. So think about it. You mm-hmm. small business owners that are employing people, you're paying them for 5 days worth of work, and they're really giving you less than four.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch, right?
Yeah, I mean, that speaks volumes about potential profitability, because if your people are not effective, you're losing money.
Yeah. Yeah, so we outlined six lies in the one thing. The first lie is probably the most detrimental, and that lie is that somehow everything matters equally. And mm-hmm. when we buy into that lie, then we fall victim to the second lie that we must multitask. I mean, think about it. I got so many things to do, I must multitask to get them all done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third lie, and we end up blaming ourselves, that I just need more discipline. And the key here is that everybody listening to this has enough discipline to achieve extraordinary results. What they have to do, though, is they have to apply selected discipline to form the right habits that are going to cause their business to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when we have bought into the first lie, we end up multitasking, and when the multitasking approach isn't working, we blame ourselves and we say, I just need more discipline, and then we end up saying things like, well, I just need more willpower. Where there's a will, there's a way. And it should be, when there's a will, there's a way. And our willpower battery is just like the battery life on our cell phone. I mean, the more we use it, the more complicated the task it's running. Like if Siri's giving you turn-by-turn directions to get somewhere, when you pull in, that phone is hot. Am I right? I mean, the battery's
yep.
wearing down quickly. Our willpower is exactly the same way. And by the end of the day, our willpower is completely depleted, and we end up going back to our default settings. So we should
mm-hmm.
do our most important work when our willpower battery is the strongest, and that means first thing in the morning. If the willpower approach isn't working, then we end up saying, well, geez, because I bought into all these other lies, now I need more balance in my life. And
mm-hmm.
balance is a myth. Balance doesn't exist. Not anywhere in the universe does balance exist. There's a term in physics called quantum jitter, which means the resting state of energy is not zero. So nothing is in balance. I mean, we know that gases float around and we know liquids slosh around, yet unperceivable by most, even the floor that you're standing on is actually vibrating. It's not in complete and true balance. It doesn't exist. So anybody
mm-hmm.
who's achieved extraordinary success will tell you it's not about balance, it's about balancing. Then we take it a step further and say it's about counterbalancing. So when you identify the one thing that you're going to do in that block of time, and you give an inordinate
mm-hmm.
amount of time
mm-hmm.
to that, we recommend 4 hours a day on your 20% work. And as you're focused on that, it's like you're in a submersible, a submarine, and you're going lower and lower and lower, right? Meaning the pressure around you is adding up, the people clamoring for your attention, the emails are piling up, the voicemails are piling up, and then at noon, you stop the one thing, and then you focus on everything else. So there's one thing time and everything else time. And you counterbalance
mm-hmm.
back toward the middle.
This has been so fascinating. We could continue this on for several more hours, but we're running out of time. What is the web address again if somebody wants to download the 66-day habit tracker?
Yeah, just go to theonething.com with the number one. So it's theonething.com. And then go to the resources page and scroll down to 66-Day Habit Tracker. It's a free PDF download. You know, additionally, we've got a 12-hour program, a training program, on how to master the one thing methodology and get more out of your time, a greater return given time invested. And we call it the one thing teleseminar. And, you know, our listeners can simply text TOTT, which is stands for the One Thing Teleseminar, to this five-digit phone number, 72727. It'll send you back a link so you can check it out.
Awesome. 72727, and you text T-O-T-T-S.
Nope, just
and,
T-O-T-T.
And that'll get you T-O-T-T.
Yep.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you again, Sean. I'd love to have you back sometime. It's been a pleasure.
It would be my pleasure to do that, no doubt. And thank you very much for having me, Lori. Take care.
For everyone, we'll be back next week with Janice Underwood, who is a business coach and a life coach, and we're going to talk about how to unblock yourself. So thanks again for listening. Please, if you've got any questions, you're more than welcome to contact me at Lori@smallbizcoaching.net, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.